So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up.
Is a presentation of the Heart to Heart 2014 study through 1st and 2nd Peter, titled Living Hope. For more information about this ministry, please go to www.refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Now let's get into the study.
Thankful, God, for the things that you're doing in our lives and for the way that you're changing us and working in us and making us more like you. Lord, I thank you for the challenges that we go through in our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you prepared us for it. You said in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I thank you, Lord, that we can be in your presence. I thank you, Father, that in the country that we are living in right now, that we have the freedom to carry our Bibles, that we have the freedom to read and to pray and to speak your name, even though people get offended by us speaking your name. It doesn't matter. Lord, we do pray, Father, that we would appreciate the freedom that we have and not take it for granted. And so, Lord, I also want to lift up before you the family of Kathy's cousin. Lord, I pray, God, with the death that's happened in that to her cousin, Lord, I pray, Father, for the rest of the family to be brought to you. Father, at the end of the day, Lord, we know that funerals, memorial services are for the living. And Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, those that are believers, to stand strong in the midst of it, Lord, and to be able to show your love, your compassion, your grace, Lord, to the rest of the family. And we just pray for them, Lord, as they go through this time of grieving. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the church is under fire. Do you think that that's true? The church is under fire. Who is the church? Where is the church? Okay, so it's not this building, right? How would the church raise their hand? Okay. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have given your heart to him and you are living for him, so the church is under fire. It is under refining fire, that refining fire. And we talked last week about the gold and how the gold gets refined and how it has to show that reflection of the Savior, he's not the miner, but he's the refiner. And so showing that reflection of him, and that's the purification that the church goes to, because it says when he comes to us that we will be would be presented as without spot or wrinkle. Without spot or wrinkle. And how will we be presented that way? One, we do the best we can with what we've got. We trust the Lord and realize that he is the one that has put it all together. It is because of his death and his resurrection that we can go before the Father and be made pure before him. And so I'm wondering, I don't know how many of you were here on Sunday, and you saw that little, how many of you were here on Sunday and you saw that little video? Okay, for those of you who were not, or you saw it Saturday night, it was some Chinese women, and men and women, who had received a Bible. And as you watch them, they're all rushing this box that is filled with Bibles. They weren't fancy Bibles, did you notice? They were not fancy Bibles, they were just Bibles. And as you watched them, and you saw them as they smelled the Bible, and they held it close to them with tears in their eyes, and that the Word of God was so precious to them, You know that in other countries there are still people writing pages and pages of the Holy Bible so that they can pass it on to other people. And there they were with these Bibles, so appreciative that they could have the Word of God. I remember years ago, I was in a situation and I was laying in my bed and I just was in turmoil in my head about what was going on and what would happen and how will this all work out and all of these things. And I grabbed my Bible and I just held it to my heart through the night, just held it close to me. Do I appreciate the Word of God as much today as I did that night? Right now, most of us have more than one Bible in our home. And you know how it goes? When you have a lot of something, you don't appreciate it as much. When somebody tells you you can't have it, then you really want it, don't you? You really, just like Bill talking about trespassing and so forth, doing those things that we know we're not supposed to do. Treasure this Word of God, however you do it. I'm not against you having it on your phone or anything like that. I personally prefer to have it in a book that I can turn pages on. That's my personal thing. But to just appreciate the Word of God and take advantage of it while we have it. Because the church is being prepared for something, and we don't want to go before him unprepared. We don't want to go into battle unprepared. And so, excuse me. Sorry. There is something in here that just makes me need that all the time. So anyway, again, it's my birthday, so I gotta do whatever I want. So, okay, we are in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. You have your Bible open, and I understand that there were some things that some people looked at and went, I don't know about that, and so wondered what was going on with all of it. And I also heard that the last verse was not in your homework. But if you didn't see the last verse in your homework, you all took it on yourself, and you did the dig deeper, and you found out what that verse means, right? Right, because I know you guys. You are Bereans. You check to see if these things are true. You are the ones who go into the Word of God and find out if all of these things are true to what we're teaching and so forth. And so we start with, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you, the very last verse of the last chapter, and then it goes on to say, Therefore, chapter 2, lay aside, be done with it, put it away, over with, be done with. Did you circle it in your Bible, that next word? Did you circle the word all? All, put away all malice. Now, malice is something that is wanting evil toward another person. But this malice is speaking about an anger that is deep-seated, a seething anger. It's always there. It's just ready to strike. Do you know anybody who has been like that? The salt tips over, and it's like, oh my God. Oh. Sometimes that's just pent-up anger. But that's what this is talking about. Be done with that. When that anger is there, and we all have been in a place where we let that anger stew, and we have arguments in our own heads at somebody else, and you know what? We always win those. Did you notice? Because we are always right, of course, and we come up with much better things to say inside our mind than actually comes out of our mouth. But we are to be done with that. Be done with that kind of anger. Be done with malice. Be done with all deceit. What is deceit? To lie or to cheat. Be done with it. Be done with it. Put it aside. Lay it aside. All hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is pretending to be what I am not. I would be shocked if I was ever accused of being a hypocrite. I don't know, because I know that you guys know what you see is what you get right here. I blow it right in front of you. I mess up. You know when I mess up. I usually tell you when I mess up. But be hypocrisy. Be done with that. So maybe the Lord's telling me you do have a little bit of that, but get rid of it. So, and be done with envy. Envy is feelings of discontent and ill will because of another's advantages or another's possessions. Be done with that. Let's stop. Let's be done with that discontent. And all evil speaking. Bill and I were talking yesterday, and one of the things that kept coming up is, I wonder if Jesus would say that sort of thing. Would Jesus look at someone who was dressed funny and say, man, they're really a freak. Look at that freak. Look at the way they dress. They must not, blah, blah, blah. Jesus would never say that about someone. He would never do that. And so that is putting away all evil speaking. You remember the days when we went, what would Jesus do? The WWJD. What would Jesus say in situations? I have to stop and think, what would Jesus say in situations? And if I don't come up with something that Jesus is saying in a situation, then I need to. Remember that from the little movie? This is what you're doing, and this is what you need to do. You know, just shut it. Just keep it closed and don't say anything. How are we to do that? We are to do that. Oh, you know what? Did anybody hear Jeremy Camp when he was interviewed on Saturday? Jeremy Camp is no longer, he was talking about now he can go into other countries, he can go wherever God leads him, and he can do what God shows him to do, pretty much whatever he wants. And God called him to, do you remember what it was? A couple of really tough countries. And in this one country, he was told, his bodyguard told him, there's danger here. And he knew that there was danger there. He called his wife. He told his wife, I just want to come home. I don't want to be here. And his wife told him, yes, you do want to be here, and no, you can't come home, because God has called you to be there, and he will give you everything that you need to be there. He'll give you the words that you need to say. That's support of a wife. You want to talk about submitting one to another? That's a support of a wife that says, no, you don't go against what God's called you to do. You go forward and you go into that. But anyway, as he talked, he had prayed, and he had other people praying for him. And as he talked, he decided that he would only say what God was telling him to say. And he said, I like to be an articulate person. I like to finish my sentences, and I like to tell stories about things, and I like to make it a lot more interesting. But I couldn't do that this day. When God told me to stop talking, I stopped talking. And then I would turn to the band and just say, we're doing the next song now. And when he came off the stage, the reason that he couldn't say certain things is that he was told that the pastor there would be put in prison if he said particular things. If he asked them to raise their hand to accept Christ, if he asked them to stand to accept Christ, or any of those things, the pastor would be the one who would go to jail. And so he wanted to be very careful to only say what God told him to say. And after all of this happened, there were a number of people who accepted the Lord through the pastor afterwards. And Jeremy's dad told him, that is the most anointed I have ever seen you when you're speaking. And Jeremy said, I only said what I heard God saying to me. I only did what I heard, saw God doing. How much like Jesus? Now, I'm not saying that Jeremy is a new prophet or anything like that, but what would happen if we did that on a regular basis? What would happen if we were very careful about the things that we say? And so in verse 2, that wasn't, I don't have any notes, so it's not in my notes either. As newborn babes, We are to do that. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Desire the pure milk of the word. Now, when I am out and I want to have potato chips, I want to have Cheetos, I want to have a chocolate bar, and maybe I want to have one of the Starbucks 50 million calorie drinks. All of the junk food. If I want, I'm out and I know I'm going to go home for dinner, but I'm out and I've got all of this other stuff that I put into my body, all of this junk food. When the good food, the pure food comes, I no longer have an appetite for it. How does this tie together with what we're talking about today? That kind of junk food that we eat is not the ones that go in the stomach. It's the kind of food that goes into our mind. The movies we watch, the books we read, the TV programs, the things that we feed ourselves on, the junk food of the world, makes us not hungry for the Word of God. And so we want to desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If, you got it circled? If indeed, Peter is saying, if indeed you have actually tasted that the Lord is gracious, if indeed you've actually tasted of that, we're assuming, Peter is saying, I'm not sure that all of you have tasted of the grace of God. Not all of you have come to Jesus, maybe. That's what he's saying there. Psalm 34:8. And Hebrews 6:5. And then verse 4, coming to him. Come to me, he says. Come to me, Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said to Peter, come to me. He said to Matthew, come to me. He said to the others, come to me. To Zacchaeus, come to me. And God is saying to us today, come to me, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. He is the precious one. We are the chosen by God. We are the chosen ones, but here he was chosen in the very beginning, a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are acceptable through God through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:16. It says that the body working together, fitly joined together, that we are fitly joined together. 4:16 of Ephesians. And whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, what every one of us supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We all have a part in this body. We all have something that we need to do. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, as the edifying to love. What are we called for? We are called to follow after him. We are fitly joined together. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, verse 6. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he who believes, clings to, adheres to, relies on him will try by no means be put to shame before the Father. If we trust in, rely on, believe in, or trust in, rely on, cling to, and adhere to Jesus Christ, we will not be ashamed when we stand before the Father, because the Father will say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what this is saying to us, that we will not be ashamed. Therefore, verse 7, to you who believe, trust in, rely on, cling to, adhere to, he is precious. If I am clinging to something, if I adhere to something, if I am trusting in something, it is precious to me. and he is precious to me. But to those who are disobedient, the stone with the which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And the Psalm, Psalm 118, 22 and Acts 4:11 on that. The chief cornerstone that Jesus Christ is. He is the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. This is what the story is being told here. Tradition has it that Solomon was building the temple. The most important stone, the cornerstone, was built. And it was delivered early. It was delivered at the time of the, as the work began. And as they started putting things together, the one thing you need to know, all of these stones were chipped away at the quarry. None of it was done at the site. You know, as we do now, we've got the saw out there, and we've got the chipping thing for the tile and all of that, and all that racket going on. No, that wasn't going on at this place. That all took place in the quarry. And so this stone, this cornerstone, was completely, perfectly made. And it was taken to the site, to the construction site. And as they began to put things together, the construction worker looks at it and he says, I don't understand. I don't know where this fits. I don't know. Somebody else made a mistake. I don't understand. And they took it and they threw it over into the Kidron Valley. And then when it comes time, and that isn't that what they did to Jesus? They threw him aside, the chief cornerstone. They threw him aside. And as it grew over and so forth, as they continue to build, and they get to the place where they need the cornerstone, and so they send to the quarry. We need the cornerstone now. And the quarry says, oh, I sent that to you at the very beginning of the construction. Well, we don't have it here. I don't know where it is. No, I sent it to you. It was there, and it was perfectly done. It was perfectly made. They checking into it with another construction worker finds out, well, yeah, I saw that stone, but I didn't understand where it went, so I just tossed it into the Kidron Valley. Rejected. The cornerstone that was rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. And as they retrieved it and it was brought back, it was placed into that place where it belonged. He is our chief cornerstone. He is the one that holds it all together. He is the one that is the most important things to us. And it had become a stumbling block to those who didn't understand, who didn't pay attention. They stumble. Why? Being disobedient to the word. Being disobedient to the word which they also were appointed. Verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. Ladies, we are chosen. How exciting is that? We are chosen. Remember, in the first chapter, we talked about you are chosen. You are set aside for a purpose. What is that purpose that you're set aside for? To bring glory to God. And it says you are a chosen generation. This generation is chosen. As will be the next generation, as will be the generations before us. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a nation as well as a body, his own special people. Just like my husband says when he talks about the children, he talks about every one of them as they are his favorite. Each one is his favorite. And you know what, ladies? Every one of us are God's favorite. I'm his favorite, and there's no argument. I'm his favorite, and Susie is his favorite, and Dawn is his favorite, and Sharon is his favorite, and I'm only doing names that I can remember at the moment. So we are all special to him. We are all his favorite. That you, for a purpose, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. You have been called, ladies, no matter how little you think your testimony holds. Well, I didn't walk in a lot of darkness. You know, I didn't do all the things that I hear other people did, and I wasn't there in those places, and I don't have that great testimony. I wasn't really in darkness. Yes, you were. You were in the same darkness as the people that did all kinds of other stuff. It was the same darkness. You were away from Jesus Christ. And he has delivered us from that darkness and brought us into his glorious light. His glorious light. His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We've got that, remember, when we went through Hosea, in chapter 1 of Hosea, when he was naming his children as a prophecy of what was going to happen to the nation of Israel, to God's people. God said, you're not my people anymore. Oh, yes, you are. I will give you grace. And that was in the naming of his children. And then we go on to verse 11 and we see, he said, I beg you. I beg you. Have you ever pleaded with someone to turn away from something? We all have it sometime or another. Sometimes it was our grandchildren. Sometimes it was our children. Sometimes it was our brother, our sister, someone else in our family. A dear friend who we have begged to abstain from fleshly lust. But what does it say here? I beg you as sojourners or strangers and pilgrims. As strangers and pilgrims. You cannot be a pilgrim in God's family, in God's world, until you've become a stranger to the world. Until I've become a stranger of the world. Till that day where I don't fit here, I don't fit in this worldly life, but when I've become a stranger to this world, then I can be a pilgrim. I can have that heart of Psalm 84, a heart set on pilgrimage, where I realize that this world is not my home, that I am just passing through. Abstain from fleshly lusts because they war against my soul. They tear me down. They will tear you down. If we do not abstain, be done with our fleshly lusts, they are at war against us. How can we have a successful walk with the Lord if we continue to follow in on the things that are at war against? We're joining the enemy's side. How can we do that? Having your conduct, verse 12, honorable among unbelievers, among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, which they will, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of his coming, in the day of his visitation, that they may, by your good works, which they observe. I've been reminded lately that people watch me, and people are watching you. And, you know, I have had some people who said, I met a lady from your church, and as I watched them, and they would say how godly you are. But we are being watched. Did you see how she handled that situation? Did you see that peace that she had in the midst of her situation? That's God. People are watching us. And so let's be done with the war against those fleshly things. Let's put them aside, having a conduct that people observe that brings glory to God on the day of his visitation. Therefore, now this you might disagree with me on, and this you might even say, I think she's crazy. But therefore, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. It is the will of God, is the next one. It is by the will of God that the leaders are in our country. It is by the will of God. And yes, I disagree with some things. There are ordinances that have been put in place that are against the word of God. Those I do not submit to. But just like Mordecai didn't submit to the ordinances and he would not bow down to Haman. Just like Daniel, who wouldn't stop praying. Those ordinances were against the word of God. but there are other ordinances that I don't agree with, but I still submit to them. Well, I think I should be able to drive at whatever speed I want to down Westminster Boulevard. I mean, you know, it's wide open, and I should be able to go any speed that I want to, but the ordinance says that this is the speed limit, and I must obey that. Maybe I want to text while I'm driving. But the ordinance says don't do that. I know that it's dangerous. I know that it's not a good thing to do. But because they told me I can't do it, that's the one thing I want to do, right? But what if I forget? What if I forget to call? What if this text goes past me and I don't see it for another 5 minutes? Oh my gosh, what'll happen if I don't get to that right away? What if I forget to look at it? Well, what if you do? Your life will go on, I promise you. But it says that we are to submit to the ordinances of our leaders because they were put in place to punish evildoers and encourage the good doers. Now, granted, I agree with you. When you look at our country, it doesn't look like that's the way it is today. But God did not say that if they're not doing their job, you don't have to do your job. He said you are to observe the ordinances of the leaders. And so verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Don't use your freedom to cover things, to do whatever you want to do, but as bondservants of God. And what is that? As bondservants of God, yes, I have a freedom, but because it would disappoint the one who is over me, I won't do that. And so you're putting other people first, because in verse 17 it says, honor all people. All people. Honor all people. Honor the homeless. Honor someone who's wronged you. Honor your parents. Honor your president. That's the word of God. Does he deserve that honor? God told me, and he told you, that we are to honor that person that he has put there. And so I honor God by honoring that person. And it's between him and God and whether or not he's doing right or wrong. And it's between me and God and whether or not I'm doing right or wrong. It's my choice. And I'm told to pray for him. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king or the president. Servants, and I understand that these particular verses were in the 12 Years a Slave. I've not seen the movie. I won't see the movie because I think it's R-rated, and I just don't go to R-rated movies. So, but I understand that this was in there. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. If you take it patiently when you have been, someone said something nasty to you, someone's been mean to you over something, if they've done it wrongfully and you just patiently endure it, God will deliver you. For what credit is it, verse 20, if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before who? Before God. And I don't care if it's commendable before the people. It's commendable before God, and that's the one that I want to please. That's the one I'm living for. I'm living for him. And my situations don't have anything to do with it other than my living for him. For to this you were called. What were you called to? We've all got a calling right now. This is your opportunity to learn. For you were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Now, we have those little plaques, you know, the footsteps in the sand, and he carried you when there were only one set of footsteps. That's great. But we are to follow in his footsteps. We are to walk the way that Jesus walked. We are to do the works that Jesus did. And we are to respond in the same way. For he who committed no sin nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, didn't come back with some smart remark. Didn't come back with some kind of put down. Didn't come back with some kind of other thing. It says that when he was reviled, he did not revile back. And that's what we are called to do. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Oh, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. I'm telling you, do you know who I am? Do you hear God saying that? Do you hear Jesus saying that? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm doing? Even when he was asked, who are you? He let them say who he was. He didn't threaten them, but committed himself to him who judges rightly, righteously, committed himself to the Father, because he's the one who judges righteously. Verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Those who have died to sins might live for righteousness. We cannot live for righteousness if we refuse to die to our sins. It is impossible to live a righteous life if we want to continue on in our sin. There's no other way to do it. That's just the way that it is. And that's what the Word of God says. By whose stripes you are healed. Verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. You had wandered away, and he came after you. You've wandered away. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God is telling us today, ladies, return. Return. Have you wandered away? Is there an area of sin that you want to hang on to? You want a righteous life? You want to glorify God? Let's let it go. And let's walk with him in purity, desiring that full, pure milk of the Word, not feeding ourselves with the junk food of our days, being done with the things of the world. And so, Lord, I thank you, Father, for the way that you speak your word. Lord, I thank you for the things that the ladies hear that I don't even realize that I say. Lord, I'm thankful for your word that is spoken in boldness and in confidence, Lord, that lives can be changed. My life can be changed. These ladies' lives can be changed. And as the world observes us, Lord, they see that there is a much better way, that there is a way to walk in. And you're calling us, and you're saying, here is the way, walk ye in it. Help us, Lord, to to just minister to you, Lord, in the way that we conduct our lives, that you might receive the glory and the honor and the praise that's due to your name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So wake up, wake up, wake up, all you sleepers, stand up. Oh, stand up, stand up, all you dreamers, hands up, hands up, hands up, all believers, take up your cross and carry it on.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.